I appreciate the song selection that was used this morning. I believe it goes right along with the lesson that we'll be looking at. And every now and then, and I think I've mentioned this in the past and have said to various people, that I'll come across a scripture, a concept, an idea, and it will kind of jump off the page at me. And I'll stop and think about it, and then I'll ask myself, how serious do I take that statement? And what we have in Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and verse 23, is a very, very simple statement. Every one of us could memorize that statement in a very short amount of time, but what does that really mean? And how can we apply that statement? And so what I can tell you is, over the course of at least this week and next week, and perhaps a couple of more Sunday mornings, we're going to look at the idea of the heart. And we're going to talk about the idea of the heart because of its importance in our lives. Because it really is what makes us who we are. And we're going to look at Scripture, and we're going to see how Scripture deals with this question. It's concerned about the idea of the inner man. And I want to make it very clear that we're obviously not talking about the organ in our body that pumps our blood and does those things. What we're talking about is our overall inner man. It's our overall mindset. And it talks about who we are. And God looks upon the heart probably more so than man does. And this is even spoken of, we can see in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks deeper. And we can remember this is at a time where they're looking for the possibility of having a king. And so they're looking at the size of these individuals and are they good to look at physically and appearance and things like that. And God says, you're looking for those things and you think that those are things that are important for you and a leader. But God is looking at the heart of the individual. God is looking at what's inside that individual to determine who is best to be the one that may lead you. And when you think about this idea of the issues of life, our actions, our works and our pursuits, everything that we do is derived from our heart. Everything that we do is derived from within us, and it determines how we will act. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10 gives us a warning. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God looks not just at the outward action. God doesn't just look at the display that we put on for those that we come in contact with, but God looks at the heart behind those actions. God's looking at each and every one of us right here, and God is pleased that we've taken an action to come and to assemble and to worship Him. But He's also looking at each and every one of our hearts, and He's checking to see if our hearts and our minds are truly focused on what it is that we're doing here. He's looking to see if we're truly focused on Him or if we are just simply going through some outward actions. So I would ask, why is the heart something that's so important to God? Why does He put so much emphasis upon the heart? Why doesn't He think like the world does and say, let's just get an attractive, good-looking, tall individual that physically might be able to lord over people? Why does He look to the heart when He looks for leaders? Why does He look to the heart when He looks to see who's following after Him? Why does He have His inspired writers spend so much time saying, guard and protect your heart? Because if you go and you look, like I said, this one concept that we've pulled from Proverbs, the fourth chapter and verse 23, is leading into a whole bunch of other areas that we can look at. We looked at Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, you're probably all familiar with this passage. Why is the heart important to God? The answer in Matthew 6, 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So why is it important? Because God wants to know what you value, right? God wants to find out what's most important to you. God wants to know where your treasures are. So God is going to look at that, and He's going to see what is it that truly matters to you. Turn to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 44. First the question, why is this heart so important to God? The answer in Matthew 12 and verse 34, when He says, brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So why does God concern Himself with the heart? Because it leads you to speak and to do those things which you are going to say. And then we have a warning in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. So we have this idea in Proverbs and this statement that says that we need to guard our hearts. We need to protect it, because whatever we let in is going to show who we are, and whatever we let in is going to be what we bring forth out of our mouth. Right? Whatever we allow to come inside of us, that's what we're going to share with the world. That's what we're going to spread out to other people. For those of you that have studied computers, you're all familiar with the term GIGO. And you know what that stands for. Garbage in, garbage out. What they never go on to say, and what they should say, is the positive side of GIGO is if you put good in, you get good out. So we can all understand this idea. And isn't the heart and your mind, as we talk about these things, greater than any computer that's ever been produced or ever will be produced? And isn't it constantly processing information all the time, just like any computer? And isn't it then feeding back that information and causing us to act? Why is the heart so important to God? What's the Lord showing His people? He's calling their attention to the moral precepts they had been taught by their religious leaders for years. This idea of who am I on the inside? Did you ever ask yourself that? Who am I on the inside? Well, I'm Rob Miller. Okay. What does that mean? I'm Joe Bunting. Okay. Who are you, Joe? Who are you really? And is who you really are who you show to everybody here? Or is who you really are somebody different that's hiding beneath the actions that you display to others? Why is that important to God? Because God knows the truth about who you really are. In Matthew chapter 5 and verses 21 through 48, and I'm not going to go through all these, but this is the comment that I wanted to get to. You see this statement over and over again. You have heard that it was said, but I tell you. And what we're seeing here is this concept that's being taught is the absolute letter of the law. You have heard what it was said. And then he's actually talking about the heart of the law. And he's talking about how things are just a little bit different, that we need to pay just a little bit more attention. What are we saying here? What am I talking about? We'll use the example of the idea of the one who commits adultery. You've heard that you shall not commit adultery. Said, you've heard that's what was said. That's the law. But I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust upon her or lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. Right? What's he talking about? He's talking about where your mind is who you truly are. This idea of you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, he who hates his enemy. And so you see this changing. He's changing this mindset. Yes, we are expected to live by God's law. But we are also to live in such a way that we have a heart to follow after what it is that he's saying. And just because we follow the letter of the law does not necessarily mean that we're doing what's right. If our heart isn't in it, then is it really what God desires? Now, we've been looking in our classes on the minor prophets, and we've been talking about the idea of how over and over again, Israel, God's people, get reprimanded for doing things without truly doing them from the heart. You bring these burnt offerings, you perform these sacrifices, you do all these things that the letter of the law has told you you must do. And he says, but I accept and I hear none of it. Right? It does you no good. Why? Because following after God's will does you no good? No. Because you don't have a heart that truly wants to follow after God. Because your heart says, I'm going to do this because I have to and I'm going to go through the motions, but I don't really mean it. So again, ask yourself, why is this heart so important to God? And if it's important to God, should it be important to me? And I want to use some analogies that Scripture uses to talk about how we can guard our hearts and how we can look at or view certain things. One writer said, to use biblical analogies or illustrations, we can be people committed to building our own cisterns, but these always turn out to be broken cisterns that hold no water. The verse is Jeremiah 2:13, my people have committed two sins, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, and they have broken cisterns that cannot hold water. It's the idea that we can do these things, but our hearts don't hold through what God would have us to do. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends upon flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. These are the people that would rather follow after man's ideas, rather follow after their own ideas, than follow after God. And what is it that he says they turn from God? It's their heart that turns from the Lord. And that's what we're talking about. Why? Because, again, that's the essence of who they really are. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 11. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with fire bands, walk in the light of your fire, and among the brands you have set ablaze, this you will have for my hand, you will lie down in torment. What is this idea of walking by fire brands? It's those that seek to create their own light, seek to create their own way out of darkness, and then the very thing that they use to get them out of darkness does what? It burns or torments them. We look a little bit further in Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 5 and 6. We can look at what he has to say when he says we can become influenced with the ideas from the east. Or basically what he's teaching them is substituting for life man's plan as opposed to God's plan. And so anytime we talk about something that's important to God and we talk about the fact that it is something that he's looking at, we need to approach it in caution. And we need to look at words of warning that God will give us. We just talked about this idea of taking our own ideas or looking to the east, looking to man's ideas as opposed to God's. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26 warns us that the heart of man is not a safe haven. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. Why is the heart important to God? Because he needs to be the focal point. Because he knows that if you trust in your own and you don't have your heart set and focused upon him, that you are a fool. that you are going to find yourself in a situation in which you don't want to find yourself. And what does God teach us about His ways versus our ways? We should all be very familiar with this, but let's turn and let's read Isaiah 55 and verses 8 through 11. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire, and without it succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." But what is he telling them? My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Why is God concerned about the heart? Because He wants you to focus your heart and your thoughts, not on itself, but again on God. You need to focus on those things that are higher than you. His word of warning is, don't rely on your own way. My way is much better. Don't rely on yourself. Open up the Word of God. Find out what my thoughts are. And then focus your heart and your thoughts upon me. Because if you rely on your own, it won't work. We look a little bit further here. We have also Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Joe was asking about this one in class this morning. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 says, "I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps." What are those people doing who don't guard their hearts and who don't protect them and allow for other things to come in? They allow those things to direct their path, don't they? What we let in, we allow to be our focal point for what we let out or where we go. We're back to that G-I-G-O concept. And he even recognizes, it's not in man's way to direct himself. I know this. I know it's not in me to direct my own steps. So where am I going to put my heart? If I know this to be true, if I know it's not in my own way to direct my steps, then where do I focus? What do I do? Do I just sit back and say, okay, it's not in me to direct myself, so I'm just going to wander aimlessly? No. I have to figure out what it is or who it is that I need to follow. Again, we talked about this in our class this morning, and this idea of God saying, follow after me. And one of the concepts that I brought up in the idea of following somebody means you can't get ahead of them. If you're going to follow somebody, you can't follow them from in front. What happens is we let our thoughts and our hearts and our minds lose where they're supposed to be focused. We put it on ourselves and then we go our own way. And what really ends up happening is we forget to turn around and look back. And when we finally do turn around and look back, we can't see God anymore. Because somewhere along the way, we turned off another direction that He didn't go. And now we're walking our own way and we're doing our own thing and God's not there. But what happens if I keep my eyes focused on Him, which was what we said. I stay behind Him. Then He's always there, isn't He? Then my paths are directed. Then I am safe. Why is your heart important to God? Because God loves and cares for you. And He knows that in order to protect you, you have to protect your heart. And so He's going to teach you to do that. And then we have commandment in Scripture to do certain things with all our heart. That means put all of our mind, our soul, our energy into doing certain things. And we all have things that we do this with, don't we? Professional athletes, what do they put their heart into? Whatever sport it is that they're involved in. And they put all of their time, all of their energy, and everything that they have goes into that particular sport. Or a professional musician or whoever it is, they put all that time, that energy, it's pure devotion. And basically they're saying, I'm giving everything that I possibly can give and then some in order to make this happen. God says, give everything that you can and then some in these areas. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And if you give God all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, what's left to give to Satan?" Right? That's why he asked for everything. Because if you give everything, then you have nothing else to give. You have nothing else that can be focused in the wrong direction. You can mark down for your references Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. For time's sake, we won't read that particular passage. You can write down Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. The next thing that we need to do is we need to seek God. We need to love Him with all our heart. We need to seek Him with all our heart. Because we can say that we love God, but do we seek Him? Not only during the rough times, because most people will. Most people will turn and seek God when things aren't going well. But do we continue to seek God even when things are going well? And do we say to God, "Thank you for blessing me and for allowing things to go well. And please, God, don't let me get complacent like so many of your followers have done so many times in their lives in the past. Don't allow me to allow the good that you've given me to cause me to forget you." So even when things are going well, I still need to seek God to guide me, to keep me on the right way. Because a lot of times when things go well, we can flip them upside down on our own, right? We can be our own worst enemy, and we can cause our own problem. And what kind of problem is it? It's a heart problem, right? Our heart gets distracted. We lose our focus. We're not putting it all on God. We're not seeking God. And then we have a problem. Turn to Joel chapter 2 and verse 12. Joel chapter 2 and verse 12 says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping, and with mourning." You say, specifically says, turn to me with all your heart. You want to get things right, turn back to me. Mark down for yourselves Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. And Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And we sung about this, didn't we? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what happens if we do that? All these things shall be added unto you, right? Why does God want to have you protect your heart? So that you will focus on Him, so that you can get the blessings that He wants you to have. Right? Now we've gone full circle again. Why is this heart important to God? Because God wants to bless you, but the only way He can do that is if you have a heart that allows Him to do so. Right? The blessings are out there for you, but you have to follow after Him to receive them. And you need to do what He would have you do. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Psalm. I want to look at chapter 9 and verse 1, verse 86 and chapter 86 and verse 12, and chapter 119 and verse 7. Starting with Psalm chapter 9 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "For the music director, according to the Alameth Laban style, a psalm of David," and he starts out, "I will thank the Lord with all my heart. I will tell about your amazing deeds." When we're thankful for something, we should also share it with others. If I truly appreciate what somebody has done for me, I'll tell people what somebody's done for me. Think about gifts you receive. When you're really excited, your spouse comes home and brings you flowers, and they never do that. My wife is laughing because she's right. You never do that. But you bring home flowers. She goes, "Guess what Rob did today? I can't believe it. He brought me flowers. I'm so thankful that he cares for me." Right? We talk about it when we're thankful. Turn over to chapter 86 and verse 12, or Psalm 86 and verse 12. "O Lord my God, I will give you thanks with my whole heart. I will honor your name continually." And if we're doing something continually, that means it's unending. That means that I'm doing it all of the time. And that means I am not allowing for myself to have other distractions, right? If praise to God is continually coming out of my mouth, then how can garbage continually come out of my mouth? Because I'm already using my mouth for something better. Psalm 119 and verse 7. Psalm 119 and verse 7, the psalmist writes, I will give you sincere thanks when I learn your just regulations. The world doesn't think that way, do they? I want to give you thanks for the rules and regulations. I want to give thanks because you're telling me what I can and can't do. Right? A Christian should say, I will give you thanks when you tell me what I can and can't do. And why is that? Because you love me and you're trying to protect my heart because I can't do it on my own because my heart is deceitful. And we come full circle one more time. Right? It's the recognition that everything that God does for us is because he's concerned about our heart, because he knows our heart can deceive us if we allow it to. So he teaches us to protect it and to guard it. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. But from there you will search again for the Lord your God. And if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you will find him. You know, I think sometimes we get a little discouraged, or sometimes we don't feel like we're seeing the results that we want to see, maybe in bringing people in, or we don't feel like we're finding the answers that God wants us to find. But over and over and over in Scripture, we have statements such as this that tell us, if you'd seek him with all your heart, you will find him. That's not a maybe. That's a fact. And it may take you a little time, but the bottom line is, you will find what you're looking for. Can you say that about everything else in your life? Whenever you seek something, will you always find what it is that you're looking for? Ever had to call somebody up and tell them that you need them to drive you to work because you lost your car keys? You may have seeked or sought with all your heart. You're like, man, I'm giving this everything I have to find these. And you don't find them. And so you're not able to have the benefits of having those car keys to get you into the car to get to work. Right? That won't happen with God. If you seek and seek and seek, you're not going to miss him. You're going to find him, which means you're going to get the benefits of having found what it is that you're looking for. And that's very important for us to remember. I found this online. I'm not sure exactly who wrote this or where it came from, but I liked it. It says, O Lord, I turn my mind to you right away from the things that today I've been through. I'm so sorry, Lord, when they've clouded the way and then have stopped me trusting you. See, what happens when we allow our heart and our mind to be distracted? What happens when we don't guard our hearts from allowing things to come in? They stop us from trusting him. Things get in the way that ought not be in the way. Mark down for yourself 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 16. And again, I do this for two reasons. I don't read every scripture that I put up on here. Number one, because you don't want to be here for an hour to an hour and a half. Number two, because I'm hopeful and prayerful that you'll take this information home and that you'll spend time studying it further. Prayerful that this teaching doesn't stop at the end of this particular sermon. So I would encourage you again to write these verses down to make sure that you have them, and then go back and read them. And if I haven't read them for you here, and we haven't done it together, then I haven't proven yet that this is really what God's Word says. So if you find it to be incorrect, the only way you'll know that to be true is to take it home and study it out for yourself. And we say, and all preachers will say, that they pray that nothing they say will ever violate God's Word. But are preachers human? Yep. Is it possible that I intended to write down chapter 4 instead of verse chapter 3? And so I said, oh, well, this applies here, and maybe it doesn't. So I encourage you, take the time. That goes back to focus your heart back on God, and you will do those things. And then we have an example in the 80th Psalm, verses 2 and 3, 15 and 16 and 18 and 19, which talk about the idea of saying, Lord, make us turn to you. If you have a hard time doing it yourself, ask God for help, because he will help you do what it is he expects you to do. If he says you need to do X, Y, Z, and you say, I need help doing X, Y, Z, then God will say, I will help you, because I will not ask you to do anything you're not capable of. But when you do it, I want you to do it with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and I want it to be a focus on me and not these other things that are cares and distractions in the world. And we need to make sure that we take time to praise God for everything that He does for each and every one of us. Again, mark down for your own reference Psalm 106 and verse 1, 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 25. Psalm 113:3 says, "From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." What happens when the sun rises? Well, maybe a couple hours, 3 or 4 hours for some of us after the sun rises. We get up, right? Once we get up, what should we be doing? Praising the Lord. What happens after the sun goes down? A few hours after the sun goes down, what do? We go to bed. So in between sleep and sleep is praise God. Right? Isn't that what that verse teaches us? From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. What that means is all day long, we are to be taking the time to praise God. Mark down 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 34. Psalm 118, the entire psalm, and Psalm 136 and verse 1. Psalm 107:1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." You see, you give thanks because He's good, and that's great, and we want to do that. But by doing that, we get a benefit too. When we give thanks to the Lord, His love endures forever. We get a benefit from Him as well. And the world always wants to know, what's in it for me? What's in it for you is that God's love endures forever. God wants to protect you. He wants you to protect your heart, and He wants to help you do those things. And then we have this question of what it is that we believe. We need to guard with all our hearts what we believe. Mark down John chapter 20 and verse 31. "But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." You need to believe this to be true. Cookie and I were talking the other day about the question when it comes to confession before baptism. What's the confession that's being made? And I've heard a lot of different people, and Christians as well, a lot of different people say a lot of different things. The confession at baptism is, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's the confession. The confession is confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're saying, "I believe He is exactly who He claimed to be. And now because I believe He's the Son of God, I know I must obey Him, and so I'm going to be baptized as He has commanded me to do. But we have to believe with all our heart. So some concluding thoughts for this morning. What are we supposed to do, and how are we supposed to do it? We're supposed to guard our hearts. How are we supposed to do that? With all diligence or extreme care. It's important. It means protect it with everything that you have. It means do everything that you can to keep evil out. It means covering it up as best you possibly can. Part of guarding your heart is not going into areas where you know there could be temptation. That's one way that you can guard your heart. Avoid situations in which you may feel you're confident, but you know you might have a problem with it. And then the question, why do it? And the answer from our verse, out of it springs the issues of life. And if we keep our hearts pure, out of it spring pure things in life. But if we allow for evil, then out of it springs evil in our lives. And the question is, which do you desire? As we close out this morning, I would consider and urge you to ask yourselves, how am I doing? Have I been protecting my heart? Have I been keeping it safe? Have I recognized the impact that it has on my overall life and how important it is to God? If I have, then what can I do to continue to do that and continue to make it better? If I have not, then I need to ask myself, what can I do to get started? And if there's anything that this congregation can do to help you get started on the right path, we invite you to make it known while we stand and while we sing.